right after my message.
See me right now, or they can, whatever.
No. Good morning. How are you? You're blessed. I heard that. We're glad you're here this morning. We have guests this morning, and we're very glad you're here. Robert, why don't you introduce your guests to us? All right, that's great. And Tiffany, why don't you introduce your guests? Yay! All right, we are so glad you're here. And Terry and Gail, you're not guests anymore. Sorry, you're part of the family now. So, but we're glad you're here to celebrate about your granddaughter. Amen. So are you ready to hear the word of the Lord this morning? All right, let's just pray. Father, thank you that our hearts are open just to hear from you this morning, Lord, and we just want to open our hearts. We want to help us just to set some stuff aside, Lord, as we listen to you this morning. I thank you for your anointing on my life, and I thank you for the next few minutes, Lord, that I'm going to hear from you. And I thank you, Father, that your word is what breaks yokes in our lives. So we pray that you'll be our Savior, our healer, and our deliverer this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right. Well, wow, what an awesome Sunday to come to church today. So we've got three people that are going to be showing their commitment to follow the Lord by being water baptized. In case you didn't notice it, the baptism tank is kind of hidden up here in the corner. And so that's how we do it. We get a baptism tank in, which apparently leaked on Friday, but they came and fixed it, and thanks to the cleanup crew who came and were here most of the day mopping things up. In fact, when I came early Saturday morning to check and make sure that it wasn't still leaking, the floor was so clean I thought it was leaking. So thank you to the cleanup team for doing that sacrifice. The awesome thing about it is that I was going to originally just come 10 a.m. in the morning with them, let them do their thing, and then leave. And if that had happened, do you know what we would have all been baptized this morning, because I wouldn't have come back to check it. But so God is good all the time. So I want to talk to you this morning about altars. And in the Old Testament, when we ever hear that someone had an encounter with God, we found that they would build an altar. And in a sense, an altar is a designated place where someone consecrates their lives to the Lord. In evangelical churches, we have altar calls, which means you come to the altar, you make your commitment. When you get married, some of you are holding out hope for that. Way to go. I think it's a little overrated, but no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. you are married at the altar, you know, so you make a decision and you make a designated consecrated place where you're consecrating yourself to someone. Or for us in church, we consecrate ourselves to the Lord. So Genesis 12, 6 to 9, I'm just going to read it for you. There's Bibles on the table if you want to look it up. Or for this purpose, you can use your cell phone. Everyone smiles at me because I'm always turn your cell phones off now. Come on, no looking at your cell phone. And then somebody says, but my Bible's on my cell phone. All right. So Abram passed through the land, Genesis 12, 6 to 9. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Morah, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give you this land. And so he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mount east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent in Bethel on the west side of Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And then we'll skip down to 13, 1 to 4. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, with Lot and him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, and the place of the altar which he had made there for at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Then in verse 13 it says, arise, God is speaking to him, arise and walk in the land through its length and its width, for I will give it to you. And so Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth tree of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and he built an altar there to the Lord. So in just a short passage, we see that Abraham building three altars to the Lord, maybe more, but we're told that he built three altars to the Lord. Each altar has a different meaning. He's at a different place with the Lord each time he does that. And so we see him building altars or memorials to the place where God meets him. So an altar is a structure where an offering or a sacrifice was made. And it's usually a raised platform with a flat surface on top for the animal that they were sacrificing. And so in the Old Testament, there are over 400 references to altars. And the first one is in Genesis 8, verse 20, Noah building an altar to the Lord after the flood and when he comes out leaving the ark. And then Cain and Abel, when they brought their sacrifice to the Lord, they presented it on some type of an altar. And so in Abraham, Abraham and Isaac made an altar, Jacob made an altar, David made an altar, Gideon built altars, all of them built altars to the Lord, and they worshiped the Lord after they had a unique encounter with God. So an altar usually represents a person's desire to give themselves fully to the Lord. They wanted to show that God had worked in their lives, which is what this altar of baptism today is, a place of memorial. And I pray that, I don't know about the rest of you, how many of you have been water baptized, immersed, maybe infant baptism as your custom is? So I think if we were to talk to each of you, I think you could say, I remember the minute, the place where I was water baptized. Because it's a memorial. It's something that we are saying, okay, God has done something awesome in my life. And so it's a place of remembrance. It's a tangible, something tangible that we set up a memorial and we say, God did this in my life. And so I know when I was first became a Christian and accepted the Lord as my Savior, we got water baptized soon after that. But also a tangible thing to me was I went out and bought myself a nice cross. And so that was like a memorial to me as well, that every time I wore that jewelry, I would remember that. And some of you have Pandora bracelets or charm bracelets or something like that, where when something significant happens in your life, you put a little charm on it. And so although we might not be familiar with the custom of building a stone altar, we know what memorials are, don't we? And we know that there are things in our life that we want to specifically remember. And water baptism is one of those things. And so historically, Israel had slipped away. They had gone back into idolatry. And there's a period in history where there are no altars being built or raised. And so we have one of my favorite characters, Elisha coming on the scene. I'm sure if he was here today, he would have ridden a Harley-Davidson motorcycle and revved it up just as he got to these 850. Queen Jezebel, King Ahab had 850 false prophets sitting at their table. Your tax dollars at work, Israel. And they came and they ate. And so Elisha comes on the scene in the midst of that. Amen. And actually, it's Elijah. And it's a great, great encounter on Mount Carmel. And it says that he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been broken down. And so he comes on the scene when Israel is into idolatry. They have 850 false prophets. And it is just an amazing, delightful story. If you need some great reading this afternoon, it's in 1 Kings chapter 18. And it's almost humorous. Because first of all, there's a drought in the land. And so he puts the sacrifice on the altar that he's built up. And he restores that significant place. Israel would have been very familiar with the building of an altar. And so he puts the sacrifice on, and then there's a sea nearby. He gets water drawn from the sea. He pours water all over the sacrifice. And before that, he says to the prophets of Baal, go ahead, call on your God. And they do, you know, drama, queen, king around the altar, and they dance and cut themselves and do all kinds of other things, and their God doesn't show up. And Elijah actually says, in the literal language, it said, go ahead, call on your God. Okay, where is he? Where is he? And in the original language, it actually says, is he going to the bathroom or something? Is that why he can't hear you? And so he's a very bold, bold prophet, comes on the scene, rebuilds the altar, calls on the name of the Lord, and fire comes down from heaven and burns up the sacrifice that is on the altar. Like I said, it is a great, great story. And so because they were no longer serving or worshiping God, Elijah had to come on the scene and restore the altar. You know, sometimes I think there are altars in our lives. Again, not a stone structure, but the altar of our heart, where we have let some things go. Maybe even idolatry has captured our hearts. And we need to rebuild those places. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to come and just, Lord, convict us. Is there anything that I haven't put on the altar that I need to put on that altar within my heart? And so, like Israel, all our altars can be broken down. So looking on that time in history, it would have seemed like it's too late for Israel. I mean, they've got not 10, not 20, not 100, but 800. I don't know about you, but that number astounds me. 850 prophets, false prophets. And so it would seem, as you look down through history or look back through history, it would seem like, I don't know whether there's any hope for Israel. I don't know whether, I think they've gone too far this time. And maybe sometimes we think in our lives we've just gone too far. Gone too far with walking away from God and not making these commitments to the Lord. Maybe we've gone too far. But as long as we're alive and breathing, we've never gone too far. God is always there. We sang about it this morning. He's always there with his arms open wide. He's forgiven us of sin. He is an amazing God of grace and a God of mercy. And so maybe there are things in your life and my life that we just need to say, God, I need to restore, I need to rebuild that altar, that commitment again. Amen? Yes. And so there are different types of altars in the scripture. When Jacob was in crisis, he built an altar to the Lord because he wanted and had an encounter with God in the midst of his crisis. Aren't you glad that in the midst of our crisis that we can make an altar to the Lord and we can have an encounter with God? Everything doesn't have to be right. We don't have to be great and perfect. We can just come back to the Lord and say, God, I need to have an encounter with you. And then, of course, in the tabernacle, there was a brazen altar, which they put sacrifices on, which represented the forgiveness of sin. Because even in the Old Testament, without the coming of Jesus Christ yet as our Savior and Lord, and one who has taken our sin away, even in the Old Testament, sins could be taken away by a blood sacrifice. And so it's called atonement. And if you break it down, it's at one meant. It's God's atonement, bringing us back into fellowship with him, making us one with him. And so, but atonement is only God can do atonement. Johnny Cash used to sing a song, God, when it's time to judge me, take a look at my hard-working hands. But that doesn't fly in the face of God or in the face of heaven, because it's not our works. It's not our own righteousness. It's not how good we can be, how many great stuff we can do, or how much money we can give. What matters to God is that we were sinful. We were born in sin. We have inherited sin. And we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. But in the Old Testament, they had to have blood sacrifices. And it was an interesting thing about the altars in the Old Testament, because the law demanded that the altar that they made was made out of rough stones. You could not chisel it out if you've got any tools or anything like that that would make it nice and square. God said no to that, because the picture was, it's not by our own works. And so that's in Exodus 20, verse 35. It says, bring an altar made of stone, and it must be made with natural uncut stones, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it. And so that just speaks to us. That's a foreshadow of Christ doing it all, and not you or I having, like I said, works or self-righteousness. So an altar was for an encounter with God. It was for the forgiveness of sins. And then we had an altar this morning, because an altar was also used for worship. And so they would come, and the priests would burn incense on the altar. Did you know that your praise this morning was like incense before the Lord on an altar, that we say, Lord, I'm not going to think about this. I'm not going to read this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to chat with my friend right now. This is the altar, and I'm going to praise and worship you. And so there are a lot of other altars in Scripture as well, but I just touched on a few of them. And whatever the reason, we have altars. An altar is for altering. An altar should alter us, should change us. When we come to worship the Lord, it shouldn't be just a nice little service that, oh, I did my duty, or my wife or my husband made me come. Or an altar should change us. Something you do, something you hear this morning, should shift something within our lives. Where is my amen cue card? It should shift us and change us. Something should change, because we come into the presence of an amazing God, and he can change us, and he wants to change us. No matter how good we think we are, there's always those little things that he seems to keep pressing buttons for. And so whether it's a place of confession of our sins as we worship God, with the songs that we sang this morning, there was a place in there that said, I'm not guilty anymore. Isn't that awesome, not to be guilty anymore? To be guilt-free is an amazing, awesome thing. It's awesome. Or whether it's a place of worship or a place of prayer, somewhere along the line, our altar time needs to be a time with the living God, where we have an encounter with God. Romans says that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. And so sometimes God even commanded that an altar be built after he delivered someone in a miraculous way. And in a small way, I think that's kind of what our blessing time is about. We do get to hear what goes on in your life. And I'm always happy that the kids share their blessing, whether it's I got a new ball or whatever, that they see God in the midst of all of those things. And that is a great, great learning, to begin to see God in every aspect of my life. And so sometimes God demanded an altar be made after. It's almost like our blessing time. Okay, God bless me with a job. God bless me with this. God bless me with that. And I think if we prepare our hearts to get up in the morning and be thankful to God and just look back and say, God, you've done so much for me. Hasn't he done so much for us? You're a tough crowd this morning. So I think it's important that in building an altar after the encounter with God, or after that God did something amazing and miraculous, what would happen? You remember, if you read through the Old Testament, that they would come upon an altar. They would come upon some stones built up as an altar. They would come upon that, and their children would be with them, and they would be able to say, hey, look at that right there. Do you remember that? Do you remember? Let me tell you what God did. You weren't around then because you're too young, but let me tell you what God did at this place. Right at this place, God did this, God did this. Right at this place, I had an encounter with God. And so part of it was to remind the future generations of what God had done for them. And so I think it's important that we remind the generations after us of all that God had done. That, you know what? Born again believers in Jesus Christ this morning, we are not lucky. We're blessed. We didn't just happen to get it. All the things that happen in our lives, we didn't do by our own strength or by the work of our own hands. We did it because God blesses us, God loves us, and like Deacon Gary said this morning, he wants to pour out his blessing to us. So don't, if you find somebody rich, loving God, don't begrudge them of their richness. We just read about Abraham, and he was pretty wealthy, wasn't he? So don't write letters about Abraham. So it's important that the generation after us know what God has done, declaring that God has blessed me. And so it's not just this happened. It's God's blessing on our life. And you know what? The more you talk about him, the more you begin to realize and begin to see the blessing of God on our life. When we were a young family, our kids around the table, we would have God finds. And we would say at the mealtime, which I think it's important to have a mealtime at the table. Let me just throw that in there. It's my little soapbox today. That we would sit around the table and we would talk about our day. And, of course, true to form, Pastor Ace would always have a joke, or he would share a dream, which wasn't really a dream, it was a joke. And one time one of the kids says, as there was a lull in the conversation, Dad, you got any jokes or dreams for us today? And we would have God finds. So we would talk about how God had blessed us that day, what maybe an accident that we almost got into, maybe a friend that we met, maybe people that we got to share the Lord with. We would always have what we called a God find. Where did you find God in the midst of your day today? And that was our altar at that time. And so we need to speak often about the Lord. We need to declare his blessings and give him the praise. Because when we do that, that's setting up our altar within our heart. I think that we're living in a day much like Elijah lived in. And people that are far from God, people that don't seem to want anything to do with God or want to know that God did this or God did that. But our friends need to know who lives inside us and who is our Lord and who is our Savior. And we need to talk to them about God. And God has given you and I great, great promises. As we follow him and we have daily encounters with him, then the promises become real to us. Not just words in a book, but things that we live by. Genesis 12 that we read, it said that Abram called on the name of the Lord. And when you read that, we realize that it was more than just a prayer that Abraham said, that he called on the name of the Lord. Now, names in the Old Testament were important. Sometimes they waited months and sometimes even years to name their children, because a name denotes your character. And so we don't live in a culture like that. Sometimes we name our children after people we love and care about and, you know, stuff like that. But In the Old Testament, their names were really, really important. And so the name of God, in fact, we sang about the name of God. Worthy is the name. Worthy is the name. In that name, there's power, there's authority. And so when Abram was saying that, when the Bible was saying that he called on the name of the Lord, that what he was doing was calling on the character of God. And so when you and I are building our altars or when we're in a tough place, do we call on the name of the Lord? Do we depend on his character? When I'm going through a hard time, when I'm feeling unloved, when stuff is going on in my life, am I calling on the character that I know to be God Almighty? That he's faithful, he's forgiving, he's loving. God always loves. He never stops loving. Never, no matter what we do, who we've become, who we are, whether we've received him or not, God never stops loving. Why don't you say that out loud this morning? God never stops loving. And so that's his character. Those are the things that Abram was calling on. He called on the name of the Lord and he was saying, God, I've moved out of this place. I didn't even know. You didn't even tell me where I was going, but I've moved out of it. A key phrase in there is there were Canaanites in the land. And Canaanites were very, very the most evil nation group of people that you could ever imagine. Child sacrifices, building live children into walls that they had built. So they were very, very evil. And it's interesting that in the midst of God saying, Abraham, you need to get up and you need to move, that Abraham moves, and then there's a little phrase in there that we need to be careful we don't miss that says, and there were Canaanites in the land. But Abraham still built an altar to the Lord. And I know that you and I have people in our lives that hopefully are not that evil, but that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that don't even believe that there's a God up there who loves them and cares for them. But in the midst of it, you and I need to continue to build our altar. We need to continue to give our blessing to the Lord. Amen? And so these are some of the This is part of the name of the Lord that Abram called on. It was his character. And I don't know about you, but God has a great track record in my life. Yes. He has never, never let me down. He is he's awesome. He's amazing. And so when we call on the name of the Lord, you know that there's power? Like, really, there's really power in the name of Jesus. I can remember three incidences in my life. First of all, not in order, but we had just bought a brand new blue van. And I said, God, please don't let me be the one to get the first mark on it. You know, that was my prayer. God, let my husband, you know, get the first scratch, you know. And so it was wintertime, and I'm driving this van into a parking lot, and it started to slide and was heading right for this other car. And all I did was say, Jesus! And that thing stopped instantly before me. Then, as I've shared with our people, another time when I'm not sure of the situation, I think I might have gone through a yellow light, or this other person went through a red light. And my mom was with me in the car and witnessed this. And this car was coming right, was just going to T-bone me right at that spot. And I cried out, Jesus! And I felt my car be pushed sideways. And I said to my mom, did you feel that? And she said, yes, I did. And we had a fresh revelation of the power that is in the name of Jesus. And the most significant in my life was when Pastor Ace and I, before we pastored a church, we had what we called a Freedom Incorporated. And we had a big rally that we stood on King and James, and we handed out flyers to come to this big rally. We had five or six people sharing their testimony. And we were inviting all these people. And then we went around a neighborhood. And we were going around a neighborhood, and there was this big pit bull dog that was barking at us, and it was straining at the end of a really thick chain that it had, straining at it. And so I was on this side, Ace was on the other side of the street, and the dog was on my side. And it was barking, 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 and it was looking over at Ace, barking, barking, barking at him. So I said, honey, watch out for the dog. And when I said that, suddenly it broke free. And Ace said, there was a lady standing at the door, and she said, if you need to come in my house, the door is open. Because it was viciously running at him. And I'm like, honey, tell it to stop in the name of Jesus. And I think he said he did his army training. He got down, you know, eye level with that dog, you know. And I'm saying, stop in the name of Jesus. Well, wouldn't you know that thing heard me and turned and started coming towards me. And it was viciously ready to attack me. And its owner, a young, small girl, came out of the house with a leash and was saying to it, calling its name, come here, come here. But it just kept coming at me. And I said, stop in the name of Jesus. And I am not kidding you. It was like a glass wall went up in front of that vicious pit bull dog. And it stopped on the dime. The girl put the leash in, looked at me, looked at the dog, and took off the other way. But I want to tell you this morning, there's power in the name of Jesus. And oftentimes, when we don't know, I don't have the right words to pray. I can't write out my prayer, God. This is got to be happening now. You need to save me now, Jesus. Sometimes, just the name of Jesus. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. Incredible power because of who he is. There's been other people historically that had the same name. There's no power in their name because it's not their character. It's not who they are. This one that we call Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Buried, crucified, buried, raised again, which is what our symbolic of baptism is. Jesus, there's power in his name. And so when we call on the name of the Lord, we're like setting up an altar before God. Not just an altar of forgiveness, but an altar of worship. Not just an altar of worship, an altar of intercession, an altar of prayer. A time where we can come into the presence of the Lord and say, God, I've got some stuff I got to lay on the altar. I've been too busy with this, and I've been too busy with that. And God, I just want to lay that stuff on the altar. Lord, I've got an attitude that I just got to lay on the altar, Lord. I've got unforgiveness. 3 weeks we've talked about unforgiveness. So, Lord, I lay that on the altar. And sometimes that living sacrifice seems to get off the altar, doesn't it? And try to raise itself up within us again. Someone said that I'm dead to sin in Christ, but somebody keeps giving me artificial respiration. Because we just seem to keep coming alive again to the attitudes that are not conducive of Christianity. So it's a place of forgiveness, place of worship, a place of prayer, and it is to be a memorial to the next generation. What are your children, your grandchildren? Where are they? What are they doing about God? Are they hearing you talk about God on a regular basis? Every human heart has an invisible altar where a war that goes on. It's a war between the flesh and the spirit, as Linda demonstrated to us last week. When we surrender areas of our lives to the control of the Holy Spirit, we are, in effect, laying that area of our life on the altar before God. And so we need to ask the Lord, Lord, are there areas in our lives that what I've sacrificed to you has gotten up again? Are there areas in my life that I think God can never use me again because of this? Are there areas in your life where you think of somebody else? God can never use them because of this. That's not who our God is. He's a redeemer. He buys back. And so we surrender to the Lord. We can say symbolically that we lay it on the altar and we let it go. We don't need a flat top surface built of rocks. We surrender our lives to God on the altar of our hearts at any time. In the New Testament, our altar is the cross of Calvary that Jesus Christ died on. Maybe if you're here tonight and this morning and you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, then today can be your day. today can absolutely change your life. It's not about going to church. It's not just about talking to God. It's about receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. And so those of you who are being baptized, you have publicly, are about to publicly commit your life to Christ. You've probably, all of you have done it in times past, but today you follow the Lord according to His scripture in the waters of baptism. And so it's in obedience to His words in the New Testament. And in effect, you're saying like Abraham, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. I have to do it on the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't do this in my own self and in my own strength. It's not my way or not my works. And so I don't know how many of you have been involved in water baptisms where they baptize you, and at the same time, as you're coming up out of the water, they sing, you know, I have decided to follow Jesus. So that's the decision. That's not the song we'll sing, but that's the decision that you're making today. And you've made that decision, some of you years ago, some of you short time ago, but you've made a conscious decision to invite Christ as an adult. You've invited Christ to come into your life. And so this morning, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome morning. Amen? So water baptism is for any believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether it's a hot tub. I know friends of mine in the hippie days. Did I say hippie? Was I a hippie? I don't know. Well, anyway. They used to baptize people in their bathtub. When somebody got saved in their home, it was like, well, now the scripture says you need to be baptized. So here's water. They went out and filled the bathtub, and they baptized people. And God honored that. But it's awesome to be able to do it in a community of your friends and your family and your church. Amen? So I'm just going to close in prayer, and then those of us who are helping in the baptism can be excused. Men's washroom where you would change is out there. Ladies, we are over here. And so let's just pray. Father, thank you this morning that you are an amazing, amazing God. Father, we love you. We bless you. Father, I want to pray for Robert, for Tiffany, and for Madison specifically this morning, Lord, as they have made a decision to follow you in the waters of baptism. Thank you, Father, that as young people and as adults, they have made a decision to say, God, I'm just going to serve you for the rest of my life. I've received you as my Lord and Savior, and I'm going to serve you all my days. And so I bless them this morning, and I thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. All right, those of you, you can be dismissed, and Hewitt's going to come and just lead a couple more songs so you can begin praising the Lord.